For our scripture this morning, we invite your attention to the book of Ezekiel, the 8th chapter. We would like to begin reading with verse number 1. Ezekiel chapter 8, beginning with the first verse. Ezekiel, the 8th chapter. Beginning with verse number 1. Amen. These words are recorded. And it came to pass in the sixth year, in the sixth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I sat in mine house, and the elders of Judah sat before me, that the hand of the Lord God fell there upon me. Then I beheld, and lo, a likeness as the appearance of fire, from the appearance of his loins even downward fire, and from his loins even upward as the appearance of brightness, as the color of amber. And he put forth the form of a hand, and took me by a lock of mine head, and the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and the heaven, and brought me in the visions of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the inner gate that looketh toward the north. There was a seat of the image of jealousy, which provoketh to jealousy. And behold, the glory of God of Israel was there, according to the vision that I saw in the plain. Then said he unto me, Son of man, lift up thine eyes now the way toward the north. So I lifted up mine eyes the way toward the north, and behold, northward at the gate of the altar, this image of jealousy in the entry. He said furthermore unto me, Son of man, see thou what they do, even the great abominations that the house of Israel committeth here, that I should go far off from my sanctuary. But turn thee again, and thou shalt see greater abominations. And he brought me to the door of the court. And when I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. He read for your hearing from Ezekiel, the 8th chapter, the first 7 verses. May the Lord continue to bless us through his Holy Word. From these verses of Scripture, we would like to use for a subject from that 7th verse, a hole in the wall. A hole in the wall. Ezekiel was somewhere between the age of 25 and 30, when Judah was taken into captivity. He, along with 10,000 others, lived in exile in Babylon during the time frame of his writings. The Babylonians attacked Jerusalem in the neighborhood of 597 B.C. In 586 B.C., a third deportation of Jews would be taken out and carried to Babylonians to serve their captors. Ezekiel was a man who was very troubled at what was occurring in Jerusalem because of the captivity that had taken place there. He had to endure the death of his wife and the hard-heartedness of those to whom he was called to preach. In fact, tradition indicates to us that he was ultimately killed by one of the Israelite princes whom he had rebuked for idolatry. See, this was the environment during Ezekiel's day. It was hard, it was demanding, it was costly, but this faithful prophet continued to raise his voice as loudly as he could in an attempt to gain their attention. You see, Ezekiel marched to the beat of a different drummer. The Bible very clearly stipulates to us some very strange things that he did to gain their attention. The book records that he once drew a small map of Jerusalem on the ground and set up toy soldiers with armies complete with battering rams to show how Israel was going to be taken down. He even laid on the ground on his left side for 390 days to symbolize the sin of the northern kingdom, and each day was symbolic of a year. He then laid on the ground on his right side for 40 days to symbolize the sin of the southern kingdom, and each day was symbolic of a year. He shaved his head and his beard, and he divided the cuttings into three parts. One part was burned, a second was cut up with a sword, and a third was scattered to the wind. And all of this was to give Judah and Jerusalem a picture of their trouble. One third of the people would die by fire in a siege. One third would die by the sword, and one third would be scattered to the wind. He even on himself was able to tremble as he ate, and he would weep in public. And he even took a sword and had an image of fencing duels in his life. Ezekiel was a strange prophet. He remained tearless at his wife's funeral at the command of God. All in all, we could quickly note that this prophet was willing to be radical for the Lord. You see, Ezekiel, when this particular prophecy had been given, had been in Babylon under the hands of captivity for 1 year and 1 month. And one would think that under the hand of captivity that Judah would have turned back to the Lord. But instead, their idolatry had only gotten stronger. The Spirit of the Lord had taken Ezekiel from Babylon to the temple in Jerusalem. And this is the way that things worked with the prophets. God can show them things about the wicked actions of men. The men can be performing vile acts seemingly in the dark, but God can bring their secrets to light. You see, Isaiah, he said in his own writing, 29:15, woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark. And they say, who seeth us and who knoweth us? And Ecclesiastes says, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. God is concerned with what goes on in the dark, for we still must make it to heaven. You see, very early in this vision, we can see that the glory of the Lord is no longer present in the temple in Jerusalem. You see, in fact, his glory was no longer even within the courtyard of the temple. It was not present on the streets of the temple. It was not within blocks of the temple. In fact, the glory of the Lord was not even in the city of Jerusalem. Ezekiel's passage gives us the revelation that the glory of God was confined outside of Jerusalem and was even beyond the gate. This is what happens when a carnal, cold, dead formalism takes over the house of the Lord. God's entrance is blocked. Ezekiel could not even go through the door of the temple. The path to worship had been so defiled that Ezekiel had to go in another way. He had to go through a hole in the wall to worship. You see, they had all the proper things in the right place. They had a leader, Jezaniah, who was the son of Shaphan, one of Josiah's reformers. They had the censers in their hands. They had the smoke. The elders should have been the guides of the young men, but instead they're found with their secret practices of idolatry in their private chambers. But what he saw through the hole in the wall was horrible. They had all the forms of worship, except two things were out of order. First, they were in the dark. And secondly, the glory of the Lord had left them. And I'm certain of what left first, the light or the glory. But needless to say, when the light left and the glory was gone, there was nothing left but a cheap substitute which filled the house with so-called worship. See, keep in mind that there will always be a sense of worship, but the object of that worship can be so defiled and twisted that if you keep up the worship, soon enough you can get used to the darkness and lose the glory. You see, all of this defiled worship was occurring in the dark. They were worshiping the creeping things which God had earlier condemned as an abomination in Leviticus. You see, from the pulpit commentary, it said, as Ezekiel went from one chamber to another, he came upon a continually descending series of scenes of wickedness. The worst were last. Sin is never at a standstill. It is a dark and chaotic flood that swells and blackens as it flows. The man who now begins with a slight lapse from virtue is on the road to a greater abomination. Herein is the danger of the cunningness of evil. If the sinner saw the whole course of his future from the first, he would jump back with horror. Yet while he lingers and toys with sin, it is silently coiling about him with more and more dreadful entanglements. One finds throughout this chapter in Ezekiel idol worship at large, idol worship in the temple, idol worship in the sanctuary. Once the idols gain a foothold in our lives, it will not satisfy until absolute destruction has occurred. At some point, you will begin to worship through a hole in a wall. You see, the worship through a hole in the wall had come from Egypt. It was an alliance that had developed between Jehoiakim and the Pharaoh. You see, this always happens when alliances are made with Egypt. You see, for the Pharaoh is a type of the devil. Pharaoh ruled Egypt in opposition to God. Satan rules this world in opposition to God. Pharaoh enslaved the nation of Israel. Satan enslaves man. Pharaoh tried to induce Israel to compromise. Satan tries to get us to compromise. Pharaoh continues his opposition after he was judged. Satan is continuing his opposition during this age. Pharaoh was destroyed in the Red Sea. Satan is going to be cast into the lake of fire. Egypt was a type of the world. Israel had to leave Egypt for the plan of God to be enacted. We must leave this physical world if we are to be saved. Just as the temple of Ezekiel's days became filled with creeping things, we too can have our souls filled with creeping things. See, in Ezekiel, a hole in the wall is not the door for us. Jesus is the true door that we can enter to this abundant life that he has for all of us. You see, Christ is the door. He is the good shepherd. You see, we need to watch our speech at this door. You see, Psalm 41 and 3 said, "Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips." God refers to our mouth as being a door that we should watch to make sure only good things like the word of faith comes forth. Sometimes we must dig a little deeper into the well of faith to find the door that God has for us to walk through. Don't stop at the hole in the wall. You see, God has a door of hope for each of us. He has a door that's been made plain for all of us. That door came for us so many years ago, over 2,000 years ago, that door was opened for us. It was opened on a hill called Calvary. That door was placed in place for each of us, a door whereby his son Jesus went to that hill called Calvary, allowed to suffer and die and to be taken down and placed in a borrowed tomb. Now I know that the Bible says that they had a stone rolled over the entrance of the door of the tomb, but you see, all doors have some way of being opened by the Lord. That tomb, the door was opened early that Sunday morning. And my Jesus and your Jesus came out with all power in his hand, gave each of us a door of hope once again, whereby we may once again be brought close to the Father in renewed fellowship with him. I don't know about you, but there is worship through holes in the walls, but we ought not to be involved in a worship through holes in the wall. The only door we must go through is through Jesus the Christ, the Good Shepherd, because of what he did for each of us on that hill called Calvary. I thank God for that today, that no matter how rough it might get for me, I'm looking for the true door, not anybody else's door, not something manifested that looks good, but only through the door that is shepherded by God's Son, Jesus the Christ. The hole in the wall is still here, but don't you fall for it. Don't you go in. Don't you peep in. Don't go near it, but search the true door. And that door is through God's Son, Jesus the Christ. May God bless you. May he keep you a hole in the wall.